Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Brandi Stankovic. And as you know, I'm an executive coach, motivational speaker, mommy, educator, and I love all things leadership and business. And we're going to dig into a really fun topic today. I feel like I'm intended on this planet to energize people to be the best that they can be. And when organizations want to be the best they can be, a lot of times the word, the cliche, you know, everything comes out, and that is innovation. You know, Scott, I'm throwing this on you, but do you have a cool sound effect for innovation?
No.
He said no. But something like, you know, like a picture like the stars or, you know, some sort of Star Wars effect of innovation, innovation. So nonetheless, we'll dig right into it and tell you a little bit about that. We also have a pretty special guest speaker. There we go. Innovation. Yeah, see, everything is just for you here on the Strategic Hot Box. But we have a really great subject matter expert that'll join us today. His name is Randall Smith, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him in just a second. So innovation is an exciting term and things that is certainly thrown around when it comes to business. And today, as every episode, we're going to frame it into three segments. We've got the learn, the love, and the kick ass. When it comes to learn section, we are going to talk a little bit about what it means to be special, what it means to drive growth and creativity. And then in the love section, we're going to bring on our subject matter expert, and he's going to talk about what he thinks about innovation, how organizations and in his leadership journey, he's been going after things like that. And then finally in the kick-ass section, I'll give you some tools that you need to make things happen. And as you know, I have chosen to give this podcast in a very authentic way. It is a balance of authenticity and making sure that it's authentic to a place where it feels like it's coming from the core of me or coming organically from me, but also in a way that's effective for you to be watching and listening. And so we love getting the feedback from all of you as you send us shout outs and send us emails and things about the hot box and topics that you'd like to see us tackle in the hot box. And really know that we will be as direct as possible in that effort and giving you stuff straight to the point. I'm not a bullshit kind of gal. If you're looking for bullshit, this isn't the podcast. We're going to give it to you just the way that I know you want it and the way that's going to help you be the best that you can be. And innovation in general is a topic that really needs to be dug into. So let's just go with it. My first thought in innovation, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink here. My first thought in innovation is how funny it is that there is conformity in the non-conformity. And what I mean by that, if you think about any sort of rebellious group, I'm talking about the punk rockers in the London group or the punk rockers of the 80s and early 90s, or you think about the hipsters of today, which is essentially the same thing, really, if you think about rebellious behavior, right? And think about how much conformity there is in non-conformity. And it's interesting. The first time this kind of was an aha moment for me was at Burning Man. And I know I've shared with you about my experience at Burning Man. And if you haven't watched the episode with Josh Winter, you definitely need to go back and check that one out. But in Burning Man, everybody's going out there to be non-conformists. And in the process of that are pretty similar, right? And I think that's really interesting. If you think about the rebels or the hipsters or any of those, there is some conformity in this rebellious behavior as well. So is that really innovation or different or rebellious behavior? You know, I don't know. And that's why I'm here to challenge that term, because I think that the best innovations are usually freaky. And not every freaky idea is a good idea. And let's get down to it. Freaky ideas and freaky in general doesn't pay the bills. And so many of us that are starting businesses, so many of you that are out there trying to make a difference in your lives and the organizations that you serve or the businesses that you're trying to create, and you're trying to do new and exciting and freaky things and do freaky things that also by the end of the day, you know, get you with a positive bottom line, that get you with a net income, get you to a place that you're actually making a difference. And that's hard to do. It's hard to be both. It's hard to be a little freaky and somebody that's being standard, traditional, or whatever enough to make sure that things happen. You know, I always laugh about the fact that there are thousands upon thousands, maybe millions of Harvard dropouts that with, you know, wrinkled shirts that didn't create the social media revolution. Right. And I think that, you know, there's almost like this romanticism or this thought that people can just do a couple little things and they'll suddenly make millions of dollars, or an organization can just say that it's innovation or just go after innovative things. And innovation for the sake of innovating is a waste of time. And really, we have to start with what the result is that you want to accomplish. Because what I'm not saying here either is being a grumpy old man in your approach to business isn't right either. And it's about a balance of knowing the piece. And I think that really, what are we going to do about it in regards to innovation? And what I think, it all comes down to what Stephen Covey, I think in the 70s, came up with. And that is, begin with the end in mind. He's saying start with where you want to be and then innovate or be creative in your approach on how to get there and serving your people and your members and your customers, consumers in the best possible way that you can. Start with that result. What difference is that I want to make? And then if you want to create an innovative institution because that comes from you authentically, i.e. our discussion at the beginning of the podcast, then it'll help create those results. But you need to do it collaboratively and continuously. You need to collaborate and do it as continuous as possible. You know, sometimes you just got to break down a word. And really, I was having a real world example of this is I was having a conversation with a CEO maybe this week, maybe early last week, and he is going through a merger, right? And so several of you may be in organizations that have faced that or certainly hear of organizations that are doing such. And in that merger, he's talking about, well, how do I now have two CFOs. I now have two marketing people. I have two HR people. What do I do? Who do I choose? And I'm going, well, wait a minute. You need to step out of that and say, now that I'm a larger institution, right? So now that I'm double the size in my institution, what organizational chart best serves an institution of that size? And then think about the people and plug them into those positions. Because so often in an effort to be innovative, ooh, we're just going to now turn that person from CFO to chief moneymaker, or some sort of crazy weird idea for the sake of doing that, as opposed to thinking, what's the result that I want? And then how do my people fit into that? And a part of that is really challenging your organizational artifacts. I've talked a little bit about culture and organizational culture on some of the different podcasts, and I just love it. It's one of those things that I'll spend time, I'll geek out on and look up culture. But when it comes to organizational artifacts or cultural artifacts, then it's about those things in your organization that have just been there because they've always been there. Or that's the way you do it. Or you just like doing it and you don't want to change things up and really kind of break through some of that. And it requires you to clear clutter in a sense, clearing physical clutter and clearing psychological or emotional clutter that your employees might be holding. And the final piece is allowing yourself to do that will help you truly leverage the intellectual capital that you have in your organization and the capacity that your employees have to create something in the future. Because again, innovation for the sake of innovating is an absolute waste of time. And let's face it, none of us have a ton of time on our hands. So really doing the best that we can for organizations with the results or the end in mind is key. So in order to really talk about this topic, I want to bring somebody on who I have recently learned some more about, and he's just delicious. His name is Randall Smith. He's the co-founder and publisher of CUinsight.com. They are kicking butt in financial services and making a difference and really offering and delivering information and news and stories and sharing real time with all the people in his industry. He has his bachelor's in business administration in banking and finance. He went to Northwood University. He's also a board member of the Marketing Association for Credit Unions. He's a CUES supplier. He's also won some awards like the Trailblazer 40 Below. And he really, like I said, is just kicking a lot of butt. So I'd like you to join me in welcoming Randall Smith. Hey, there you are. Hello.
Hey, Brandy. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Fantastic. No longer 40 and below.
So. Oh, no. Don't. You shouldn't admit that. You can't admit that. So I almost wore my Metallica shirt today for you. We recently had some conversations that Randy, your first concert was Metallica and Guns N' Roses, which I feel like has taken your cool factor up like 11 notches, honestly. I'm surprised you don't have your Guns N' Roses shirt on.
I know.
So tell me a little bit about your journey in leadership. I was just talking about innovation, as you know, and tell me about your journey. Oh, do you hear Metallica? Some good Metallica playing. It's always a better day when there's a little Metallica in the background. So tell us with this beautiful entree of music, tell us about your journey in leadership.
I would say that I stumbled into leadership. Hmm. How about that? And to tell you the truth, it's been a struggle ever since. I think one of the biggest things for me is it was separating leadership from management. And I started to realize that I'm actually a much better leader than I am a manager.
That's interesting.
So it's, you know, for me, it's been surrounding myself with great people smarter than me.
Yes.
To go forward, because my previous life before starting my company, I was quite honestly in sales and you were just kind of your own boss.
Sure.
So, that you really didn't have to lead or manage people. Now it's a completely different thing. So it's been a fun transition, I guess you could say, over the past 8 or 9 years. It's been for me, it was really getting into it and separating, okay, there's a difference between leading my team and leading my company and leading people than it is to actually manage. The day-to-day.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's such an important kind of note to leadership in general. And it is really two different skills.
Oh, huge.
It is. And I love that you're also saying that you're better at leading, because I feel that way sometimes. Sometimes my employees will need me from a management sense, or I had an intern last summer that really could have used some good management. And I'm like, I'm not that chick. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it is not me. But,
so yep. What does innovation mean to you?
It was interesting listening to you in your introduction. You took some of my thunder. but one thing I would say is I really do believe that innovation is kind of like the scary word that people tend to overuse. And they're almost fearful of. To me, innovation is something that we're doing every day and something that we should be striving towards every day, just because of how fast, if you think of how fast things are changing and how fast things do change now. I'm reading the Thomas Edison biography, and from the point he invented the phonograph till the point it was actually commercially successful was 30 years.
Whoa.
That doesn't happen nowadays.
No,
you know? I mean,
heck
that just
no.
doesn't, we'd never see that.
It's
so
like 30 seconds.
Yeah, now it's 30 seconds. We're not even doing things the same way we were 5 years ago, let alone 10 years or 15 or 20 years ago. So for me, it's like that constant innovation. And I view, like I said, I don't view it as scary. I view it as, just kind of getting back to that failing, that kind of beginner's mind where we fail often and you're just getting closer and closer to doing something that works. So, with innovation, I think we always think of the big life-changing, you mentioned, the Harvard dropouts to create social media. It doesn't have to be. That's the innovation that they write books about, but
sure.
That's not the innovation that keeps us moving forward on a daily basis. So for me, it's not nearly as scary of a process as I'd say, most
people
make it.
Yeah, dipping into it. And it's also like dedicating resources to it in a sense. Not a lot of organizations dedicate the time and money.
I think the time is a big part of it. Uh-huh. We have to take the time to actually think about it and to look at what's happening around us. And that's something that I know for my sanity, that's something that I need to be doing all the time. I get bored. So,
in organizations, so you've kind of talked about how organizations need to not be scared and fail faster and fail more, like that kind of, I love that young reference that you made. That's really, really good. And do organizations then need to even be innovative?
Oh, I think so. I truly believe that. I believe they do now more than ever, just because of how fast everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly everything's moving, like you just said. I think one of the things that cripples organizations is that, the phrase, we've always done it that way.
Uh-huh.
And it's taking a look at, that's such an internal statement. That's such a, this is what we're comfortable doing, this is what we've always done. But that has nothing to do with your members or your customers or your employees, on the outside, kind of looking out at actually what you're there for. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things for me personally. I'm always looking, I look past our company a lot. I just, it's
that's
where
smart.
My head spends a lot of space. And I think people are often surprised. I really don't pay attention to our competitors at all. You know, I look at things outside of, you know, my small little window, you know, in our, the small little niche that I work in, to see how people are doing things in different ways and looking at trends in general, because that flows into my business as well. And if, you know, I can try to stay a step ahead of that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Sure. So. And without obviously revealing too much of your strategy, can you give us an example of that? I mean, where and how, like if somebody wanted to start doing that too, like where do you begin?
You know, like one of the things when the start of CUinsight.com was actually based on just watching trends in the world and the way people were consuming media and news 8 or 9 years ago. You know, the idea that blogs were coming out and getting hot, and the like journalism was kind of right. Taking a different, you know, approach at that point in time, where we'd rather hear from a subject expert, somebody who's actually
doing it,
than we would from somebody writing about people doing it. So, you know, we took that the way news was changing and the way information was changing on a national basis, and we just brought it into our niche. So, I mean, there were parts of it that my niche wasn't ready for yet.
Right.
You know, and then there were others that took off very well. And it is kind of that if you fail, okay, just keep going until something good comes from it. And if the ones that, you know, I'm a big fan of running with what works.
Yes.
So if it's working, commit more time, resources, money, all that good stuff. If it's not working,
let it happen. Then move on from it. And that's a hard decision to do, to say, hey, if it's not working, then we have to make a strategic decision to not go forth. That's almost innovative.
Absolutely.
In a sense, you know?
Oh, I think it's one of the toughest things to do, to tell you the truth. We get married to the ideas that we think are going to be awesome. And, you know, I can tell you, in our company, there's been 3 or 4 different ideas that we've probably tried to do 3 or 4 different times, and they've not worked, you know?
Right. Right.
You know? And it's just like, but we keep coming back to them because it was one of our original ideas.
Yeah. Or something that worked in the past. I mean, if you think about any of those organizations that have completely, like, just destroyed an industry, like a Starbucks or a Netflix or whatever, it's typically the other big players that were in the industry prior that had given up on doing the freaky.
Absolutely. And I think that goes back to like doing what you're used to.
Right.
You know, and that's the, you know, I never discount anybody. I always say, like, in our space, that there's somebody else is going to come out along with a great idea that's going to make us archaic at some point. I just hope it's not in the next few years, because I still have some time left. So,
right.
You know, but at some point, someone's going to change the game and I'm going to miss it. So my goal every day is always to try to just do something that's pushing us head a little bit forward. And I think any size organization, as the leader of an organization, I just think that's important. You know, that's, to me, that's one of the true forms of leadership, is staying viable and pushing things forward and having that, you know, outlook and the strategy to
not getting too comfortable. Absolutely.
You got it.
So what's a funny story or something that you've survived, a disaster you've survived along the way?
Oh, geez. I've had a lot of them. I'd say my entire 20s. How about that? I would tell you that I seem to have this pattern of touching the stove and then wanting to touch it one more time.
You're like, was it really hot? I'm just going to keep going back.
It's different. Oh, crap, it was again, so I'm going to do it again. So, I mean, there's been a lot of them. I would tell you, like, if it wasn't for... I would not be in the place that I am right now. And, you know, I tell everybody, I think I'm the luckiest person on earth for the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. And I wouldn't have been there without a failure. Mm-hmm. You know, out of college, I was a broker for Morgan Stanley. And I thought I was, you know, very random. It's nothing to do with what I'm doing now. And I didn't like what I was doing, but I thought, you know, in my 20s, I thought I was hot stuff and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, could do anything I wanted. And during the middle of the worst market that we'd seen in years and years and years, I decided I should just go off and start my own company. So, you know, it wasn't very smart. You know, I was like, I don't need this Morgan Stanley firm. I can just start open up my own shop. And, you know, if it wasn't for that failure and looking at other things, I would have never be doing what I'm doing now. And now I work with the greatest people I've ever met. But I will tell you, I fail all the time. Failure to me is, you know, I kind of go back to that beginner's mind, that learning to walk, that, you know, you fall down,
just get
and
up.
Suddenly it happens.
Uh-huh.
And one of the biggest changes that I could say, like looking back from, you know, like these different stages of my life was the, you know, the last say 5 to 10 years is that idea that I can, you know, it's learning from mistakes, learning from the failures, but moving quickly forward.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I just don't even think about them anymore.
Right.
And when I do look at them, I look at them and say, wow, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have been doing this. I wouldn't have experienced this.
And that's met these people. Pretty evolved of you to be able to do that.
Oh, lots of counseling, you know.
share a takeaway or an action step. If people could start doing something differently today, what would it be?
Just keep thinking forward. I mean, it's something that I say to my crew all the time. And I have an awesome team that's allowed me to, you know, grow as a leader. And I mean, just my life's been fantastic because of them. But I like one of the things that I think we do very well at our company, and it's something that after a few years we actually had to change, was I'm a big fan of poking holes in ideas. Mm. If we can figure out the problems before
yes.
we actually put them out there, that's awesome. But one of the things that we had to change was we all got really good at poking holes in ideas, and then we'd stop there. So now whenever somebody pokes a hole in an idea, it has to come with a but
solution.
If we try this,
yes.
you know, what's the solution? And it's completely changed the way we look at everything, and the way that I look at everything is, okay, yep, that's a crappy idea. Here's the reason why somebody's not going to like it. But what if we tried this?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the thing. If we can just get out of, as leaders, I would say, if we can get out of our own way in the sense of trying to go, well, we've tried that before, we've done this before, this is how we've always done it, and we can actually, you know, say, but what if we try this on the other side of it? I think you'll find that you can come up with all kinds of great stuff to keep
new
pushing
ideas
forward.
And energize the people.
Absolutely. And the big thing that I would just add on to that would be, is stop looking internally. What, like you mentioned it with Stephen Covey in the book, you know, from the 70s. And I mean, that idea of look outside at what people want. Look at the way that people are, you know, the way they're in my business, how they're consuming information. Not at work, the way we do it and everything. What do people truly want? And are you providing that? And I think that's in any industry. Is it, are you giving your customers and the public in general what they're looking for? Or are you just going, nope, this is how we do it. Nope, this is how we've always
done
it. You know?
Right. If people wanted to get a hold of you or have further conversations, how would they do that?
Anything, any of the social media machines, see you inside anything, basically. So we're all over the place, but Twitter's easy enough. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat.
Can hit you up on all platforms. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your ideas. I love seeing your smile, and I look forward to seeing you in a few days in New York City together.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brandy.
Excellent. Bye.
I'm ready. Just introduce myself. By the way, folks, my name is Des. I'm a tour guide, Belfast City Centre, at the so-called Peace Walls. Explain the origins of the walls, and of course, explain the complexities of our troubles here. So, I'm hoping that you probably enjoy Brandy's show. And my name is Des. You're listening to Brandy on Strategic Hotbox. Welcome.
Thank you to Randy for being here and sharing his energy and excitement. He's got me all pumped up after talking with him. And thank you also to Des from Northern Ireland to sharing his knowledge with us about the Peace Walls and everything that they represent in Northern Ireland. And he's right to say that there are a lot of complexities, although I imagine that most people listening or watching have no idea what Des just said for Northern Ireland because his accent is beyond amazing. But thank you both to Randy and to Des for being here and being a part of this episode. So now it's time, your favorite time, it's time to kick some ass. Here are your top five kick-ass when it comes to innovation or being the best that you can be. Number one, get over yourself. If there are things that you've been doing and that you're comfortable with, Randy said it amazingly in the fact that don't just be into it and be comfortable and be safe. It's time to broaden out. I loved his idea of poking holes, but making sure that we poke holes with solution. Prototyping always trumps discussion. prototyping Trump's discussion in the fact that come to the table with, if you see a challenge or you see a problem, with a result or solution, at least something to start working towards, and get over yourself in the process. Just because you're freaky doesn't mean you're cool. And just because you're cool doesn't mean you're effective. So get over yourself. It's time to keep pushing and keep learning. Number two, start with the end in mind. Make like Stephen Covey. Make it one of your highly effective habits and start with the end in mind. Know what your result is and go from there. Number three, challenge those cultural artifacts. You want to see the way that we've always done it, or that's not how I did it my last organization, anything like that. Catch yourself doing it. Cut yourself off and just offer and be open to fresh ideas. Number four is listen. When you do ask questions, you do get your consumers, customers, people, partners, relationships involved. Listen and be able to absorb and accept information that's new or industry trends from outside the organization. I loved Randy's recommendation of not looking inside, making sure to look outside and keeping your eyes open. And number five is to cooperate, collaborate, and share. The more we, no one that's successful has gone back and written a book said, I did it all by myself, right? If even the most innovative organizations need people in place to help in those in the distribution or in the creative process or in actually doing some of the work and getting some of the things done, you have to be able to cooperate and collaborate with different people to be part of this creative process, to be as innovative, special, exciting, and effective as you possibly can. And that's your top five kick ass. Thank you again to Randy Smith for being here and part of the Strategic Hot Box. It was great to feel his energy and understand his story about his journey and that he didn't always have it figured out, but he keeps pushing towards the future and wanting to be the best that he can be. We'd love to hear from you on topics that you'd like us to tackle in the Strategic Hot Box. The more feedback that you bring our way, the more we're able to customize and give you the best possible show and the best information and nuggets that you can apply. And share your thoughts with us on Twitter at Brandy Love. That's B-R-A-N-D-I-L-U-V. And same with Instagram at Brandy Love or at the Strategic Hot Box. And you can email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com. For ongoing access to any sort of executive coaching tools, leadership development exercises, worksheets, books, and a network of people that really want to make things happen and are also out there kicking as much ass as possible, then head out to thestrategichotbox.com. We have a lot of tools for you to use along with all these episodes. So in the episode, if you hear us mention something like i.e. the Josh Winner episode about spirituality and leadership, and we talk about Burning Man, or we talk about some of these other pieces, then get back out there and check out some of our previous episodes. We'd love to have you interact because it's all about a dialogue and us doing it together. But I want to urge everyone out there that you deserve to be the best that you can be. You deserve to kick ass. And until I see you again, get out there and kick some ass.